You know, I grew up as a kid in Austin, born in Corpus, but grew up there in Austin, and was around Christianity, but never converted. In my fifth grade year of school, I think I went to the Lutheran church for a year, and a lot of really sweet people there, and I made a lot of friends, but I even went to a church camp, but, you know, I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. I don't remember hearing the gospel. I remember hearing about confirmation classes and other things, and I'm sure that there was Jesus there, and I was definitely being told, but I wasn't listening. And, I kind of left that church experience and never wanted to go back. My dad wasn't a believer until after I became a believer. And, you know, my mom would go to church, but she would go to different places because she could never really find the one that she liked a lot because she had a lot of church background. And I just sort of, after that experience as a young kid, I never wanted to go to church anymore. And in seventh grade, I started skateboarding. And thus began my love affair with the four-wheeled toy machine. And, you know, I started skateboarding and I was hooked, you know. And seventh grade and eighth grade, ninth grade, all up until the end of my school years, I was continuing to push myself in the area of skateboarding. But here's the reason I'm telling you this is that my skateboarding led me to a lot of really shady places in Austin. You know, as a 15, 16-year-old kid, 14, 15, and 16, I hung out more in downtown Austin than I think the corporate community did. You know, I was like there all the time, hanging out with people. I had friends that were bums. I had friends that were, you know, college students. I had friends that were just local, what we call drag rats, that sort of lived off the street and just kind of skated around and stayed from house to house. And it just was around a lot of really shady characters. Of course, that's actually where I met my big brother in the Lord, Bungie Garrett, who's the pastor of Calvary South Austin. As a 14-year-old kid, I would go into the skate shop, and we were so talkative and so jittery and so hyperactive that these guys would give us drugs to shut us up, and it was kind of crazy, you know, just that's the way it was in that world for me, and that's how I got to know him. And of course, it was kind of like the mafia, because if anybody messed with the skate kids, then we would just tell Bungie, who was just this big, really mean guy, that would just go beat him up. And that's how I, you know, first met him, was I think he was beating somebody up. I was like, who's this guy? I was like, oh, that guy was giving me a hard time, I told Bungie. And, you know, as I did all that stuff, I barely graduated high school because of drugs and drinking. I was one of those kids that said, I'm never going to smoke cigarettes, I'm never going to do drugs, I'm never going to drink. But then I started hanging out with all the people that did that. And it wasn't very long before I was smoking a pack a day and was doing drugs and drinking and was just really dangerously close to dying at numerous occasions from, you know, driving around and doing crazy stuff all the time. And you know, God protected me. I can honestly say that. And as I graduated high school, you know, it was kind of shocking. I got out of high school and, you know, I made my first trip to the skateboarding Mecca of San Francisco. And that's where a lot of really, there's just a whole history of skateboarding there. And, you know, made my first trip there and, you know, got to skate with all kinds of people and just continued to get worse, really, in my life and what I was doing. And in 1996, February of 1996, well into, you know, the year after I graduated, I realized as I got to a low point in doing drugs and drinking and partying that I needed to clean myself up. And I'll tell you guys why I tell people this part of my story is when I turned 19 that particular birthday, my friends had taken pictures, and I had the kind of friends that if you passed out, they got magic markers and gave you friendly tattoos on your face. So I woke up from that birthday with like magic marker tags all over my entire body, and I spent like 5 or 6 hours trying to get this stuff off my skin so that because I was a waiter, he'd be going to work looking like that. But here's why I'm telling you that, is that it was a pretty rough experience. And then I remember looking at the photos and seeing myself in those photos, and that's where it clicked. Man, I'm just like a skeleton here. I look like I'm dead. And it scared me so much that I stopped smoking, drinking, doing drugs, started working out twice a day, and went from being this totally like just skate kid to being all of a sudden this really healthy guy who I was using my whole brain now. It was amazing. Well, where have I been the past couple years? Well, you've been living here in South Austin. Really? Okay. So in February of 96, I got off the drugs. But here's why I'm telling you kind of that story that builds up this, is because as a person, I was so inebriated, so dull, that it wasn't until I got off all of that stuff that I realized that there was something missing in my life. So I got sober, I got in shape, I started college. At the end of the summer in 96. And, you know, one of the things I did was I got back with my high school girlfriend, who for some reason I had broken up with while I was in my crazy phase of life, because I didn't have time to deal with relationships because I was so dysfunctional myself that I just sort of wrote everybody off and didn't care about anything. And beginning of the summer of 96, I started skateboarding really well because I wasn't on drugs, drinking, or smoking. I didn't even drink caffeine. I just was totally organic before organic was a thing there in Austin. Just started, no, I'm just joking, just really healthy. So here's the deal. Is beginning of that summer, I started skating so well that I started riding with pros. People would come in town. Austin is kind of a skateboarding mecca in of itself because of so many people that come there. And so here's the first part of the story that starts to get funny and interesting is... that particular summer, my whole life I had wanted to get sponsored, I'd wanted to be recognized for my skateboarding skills, and that summer I ran into some guys that were these pros that were traveling in, and I got into a video. It was the 411 video magazine. I don't even know if it's still around anymore. I don't even pay attention to some of this stuff. And these guys, see, they didn't know my name, and... they called me in the video, after I watched the video spot, this, you know, I've endured a lot of funny nicknames over the years because my last name's Newberry, you know, strawberry, blueberry, cranberry. I mean, I go through the whole berry list, right? But my friends in the skateboarding community called me Dingleberry. Yes, you can laugh. Yes, it's probably not appropriate for me to say that word from the pulpit, but no, it's just funny. That's what they call me. So then, after a while, they stopped calling me Dingleberry, they started calling me Dingle. They got tired of the too many syllables. And so I had a lot of friends, and that's what they called me. And in that video, this is what's funny and why you should pay attention, in that video that I got in, they didn't even put my name, they just said Dingleberry. So there's like thousands of these videos, and here I am, this kid from Austin, and my name's Dingleberry. I could never live the name down. The guys that I lived with in South Austin... we're graffiti artists. We used to go in the middle of the night. Yes, I know this is wrong. This is why I still watch trains go by. We used to go in the middle of the night, and they would paint these huge murals on the train. Very talented artists. It's illegal, but it's a very, very awesome form of art. These guys were the best of the best in Austin, and they needed guys to watch on top of the trains, and that's what I would do. And because I was around graffiti guys, if you ever hang out with people that like graffiti, they're always drawing stuff. And so they started teaching me how to tag, and I started tagging my name, Dingle. And so I would go around, write this everywhere, you know, and they would, and you know, they would always say, yeah, it didn't look good, or you're getting better, you know, and so here's why that's important. That name plays into the story and how it goes. And so after I got sober and I was living in South Austin, and I was still with all of my friends that videotaped me skating and, you know, were the guys that were part of the graffiti crew. Once I got sober, it was interesting to watch how these people that were my so-called friends all of a sudden started to be very bothered by my sober presence in the house. And I remember one day as I was sitting there working out, they would always try to push drugs on me all the time. This is the reason why I ended up moving out. But they were all sitting around one day and they were going, this is what they said. they were sitting around, all just doing drugs, hanging out in their crazy state of mind. And they were all, that guy Bungie, yeah, you remember? Yeah. He said he's a Christian. He said he's a born again. Oh, they all start laughing. He's a Christian. Oh, that guy smoked way too much. I think he's just lost his mind. You know, they had all these comments, all this stuff that, you know, you were just kind of like, what's going on? And I remember thinking, wait a minute, Bungie, the lead singer of this band that you know, I grew up and know and hang out with occasionally? And they were like, yeah, he's a born-again Christian. He's going to some church called Calvary Chapel, and he's trying to get everybody to go to church with him, and dude's lost his mind. Well, that next week, I went to his last show by chance that was in a huge skate shop in downtown Austin off Fifth Street. And it was this huge place. They had big shows there and stuff. And his last show, he got up and they did a couple of songs. And he was a popular artist. He drew for the Chronicle. He was in a band. Everybody knew who he was. He was a very popular Austin icon. And I remember going up to him and I said, hey, what have you been doing? And he looked at me and he said, and it was almost like the entire room, we're talking like 300 people, it just, and people that weren't sober. So it got quiet, which was weird. And he said, I've been serving Jesus. And you know, you can hear the snickers and the, you know, the, what's going on with this guy, you know? Well, that ended up turning into this experience where I said, well, tell me more about it. So we go outside, and all of these kids go out there. And so the very first time that I talked to Bungie after he was saved, he's got all of us on the front of this car, and he's talking about Jesus in a really cool way. He wasn't preaching at us, but just talking about his story. And we were all just like... And I was just shocked that he could speak so clearly. I mean, I was just like... What in the world is... You know, I was like, this just is nuts. Well, the next week, I thought about what he told me, and I'll never forget the large legal sheet of yellow piece of paper that he wrote his phone number on and said, hey, call me and I'll take you and I'll buy you a Bible and I'll show you this stuff. Well, that week I called him. He took me to Half Price Books, which I thought is fascinating. I just remembered this today, that we went to that Half Price Books for me to get my Thompson Chain Reference Bible. So the beginning of summer of 1996, he said... And I wasn't a Christian. I was just curious. And C said, well, I want you to read the book of John. So while we're in there looking for the Thompson Chain reference, guys, this blows my mind. My uncle, who I loathed my whole life because he was a strong Christian, was in there buying books. And I'll never forget, I'm with Bungie, and he still looked a little bit rough, but not that bad. But I said to my uncle, I go, I'm here to buy a Bible. And he goes, you're here to buy what? Like, it didn't register with him. Now, this is a guy that I never wanted to talk to that after I got saved, I became very close to because he speaks Greek, reads the Greek New Testament and Old Testament, knows every great commentator, and supplied me with a lot of my books early on. The very first time I went to get a Bible. And I'm sure he went home and told my aunt, you're not going to believe who was buying a Bible at Half Price Books. Now, listen. It gets even better. I started reading the book of John, and I very rarely remember this element, but when I started reading the book of John, I started to have nightmares during that summer of hell. I didn't understand it at the time, and I don't think I went to hell. I just had dreams of being in a torturous place. And it scared me. And I kept reading. And I wasn't superstitious totally about reading the Bible, but I knew there was something true in it. And man, did Satan throw everything he could at me that summer. You know, every kind of thing that I could do wrong became the temptations. Get back into drugs, do this, do that. It just all was coming at me. And I kept reading the book of John. And... you know, my nickname was Dingleberry. Most of my friends called me Dingle. But my best friend, who was not a skateboarder, who I later had a lot of time with before I got saved, we worked at a restaurant together. And this is the thing I want you to understand. For that whole summer, and really even before that, probably at the very beginning of the year, he started singing he's a very eccentric kind of guy, and he would always sing like Frank Sinatra style, Johnny Dingle. And he would do that, and it annoyed me. And I hated it. But that's what he called me. And so other people started calling me that. And I go, my last name is Newberry. Please, people. But the name followed me. Even to my friends that weren't skateboarders, everybody called me this name. Johnny Dingle, Johnny Dingle. Well, he got even worse with that over the summer. Continued to call me that. And, you know, it just kind of drove me mad. Well, again, during that summer, I turned my life around, but I was aware that there was something that I needed. I ended up moving back north because of the dangerous situation with my roommate. I mean, he got in a fight with me one night, and the cops came, and we had like a 6-foot marijuana plant on the porch and all kinds of stolen property, and who knows how many drugs were in the house, but they didn't search us. And at that point, I said, I'm out of here. I was sober enough and cognizant enough to realize this is not good. So I got this new apartment right near my parents' house in North Austin with some old roommates that were old friends from high school that became my roommates. Brand new apartment, college. I had money in my pocket. My car was actually running like it was supposed to. You know, I actually had a bank account. I was shocked. I go, wow, life is good. But I just don't feel right. I got into Taoism. I got into the yin and the yang. Because I knew that there was something there, so I thought, oh, it's all karma, man. So I drew yin-yangs on my skateboard, and I actually, and you guys are going to laugh at this, I had this huge fortune cookie collection because I somehow believed that those fortune cookies were real. I had a big Tao, had this fortune cookie collection, so this is where I was at. Now, during that summer, towards the end, I got engaged to my girlfriend from high school, who was actually a very serious atheist. And during that time, I started asking myself questions like, you know, why can't I really change my life? I had gotten off drugs, quit smoking, quit drinking caffeine. I was like this totally straight-edge guy, but I still knew that I was evil inside. And I said, why can't I change? One of the things that never would change, no matter what I did with my health, was my mouth. I was always saying things that were just wrong. Bad words, bad things came out of my mouth, the tongue. It became apparent to me I couldn't really change the inside. I could paint the outside, but the inside never changed. You get the idea, right? And after I started at the community college, you know, I was waiting tables, and as far as the world was, everybody around me says, oh, you're doing so great. I mean, my parents were just glad that I looked healthy. You know, they were just like, what is going on with this guy? Well, August mid-month, I called Bungie and I asked him if I could come visit Calvary Chapel of Austin. I started really thinking about, I want to go check out this church. First Sunday I went, Mike McIntosh was there with the Living Stones, which was a Beatles knockoff band. And the only reason they were there, guys, is because they got rained out at their outreach the day before and they decided to stay over for the Sunday service. And had it not rained, I would have never seen this. One of the songs that they played, that they covered, that the Beatles did, was a song called Nowhere Man. That when I was lost, I used to listen to all the time because I felt like a nowhere man. I felt like I was on this lost road and I didn't understand it. So they had Christianized this song. Of course, I loved it, but my friend who was a musician and a singer, he was so offended he never came back. And so the next time I went to church, of course, I went by myself. Now, Labor Day weekend came around. Here we start to come to the story of how I got with Jesus. And, you know, I was hanging out with my girlfriend or fiance during that weekend. I had all this money. We went shopping. We had just a great time. But after she left on that Sunday night, I had to work, and I just felt guilty. Just felt bad about my life, about where I was at. I couldn't change the inside, but I could change the outside. And I didn't go to Calvary Austin that Sunday because it was the Labor Day weekend. And I worked really late that Sunday night. Now pay attention, I worked really late that Sunday night, and as I got to the end of the night, I mean, it was one of those waiter nights where I was so greasy and I smelt like the restaurant that I was at. I literally was like leaving work thinking, I have got to go hose myself down. I hate this feeling. Well, when I get to the house, my roommates are all sitting around watching this movie. And I cannot tell you why, but I sat down and I said, I've got to watch this movie. And I didn't get it. And I said to myself, and they were all like, you stink. I'm like, oh, thanks. But I sat and watched this movie. Well, then get this, they all leave. And I'm still there watching this movie. Now, here's the movie. It was called My Boyfriend's Back. It's a real movie. And it's one of those teeny bopper movies that is about this kid that actually dies, but he doesn't die, and his body parts start falling off, and he's kind of having to put his arms and his feet and his legs back on. He's a walking dead guy. Okay, during that summer, I asked myself that question of, why can't I change who I am? That night when I started watching this movie, I said, why am I watching this? And I kept saying to myself, why doesn't this guy just die? Why doesn't he die? And nobody's at the house. I'm yelling at the TV. I smell like a restaurant. I'm supposed to take a shower. I needed to go to sleep. I watched this entire movie. It's midnight. He comes up to the end of the movie, comes up to his gravestone. And I had been yelling at the TV. That's how I was back then. I yelled at stuff all the time. Why does this guy die? This is such a stupid movie. Why am I watching this? I'd walk out of the room. I'd come back. At the very end, this happened several times. I look at the... And there on this huge TV that was my roommate's, the entire gravestone took up the whole entire screen and it said Johnny Dingle. And it was spelled just like my nickname. And I said to myself, no, it didn't say that. It didn't say that. And I got real nervous. I mean, really nervous. Like, freaked out. I called my best friend. And he said, dude, why are you calling me? It's too late. I was like, oh man, nobody to talk to, you know? I'm sitting around and all I could think about was seeing that this walking dead guy who couldn't change the situation, he was just a walking corpse. He was a person walking around dead. And you see the symbology here. You see the Bible says that we're dead in trespasses and sins. That literally we are dead. That's why we have to be born again. So here's the point. The next day, I woke up and just realized that I needed to get right with God. It made perfect sense. No one was around. I opened up my Bible. I started asking questions to God. I started finding answers. I don't even have time to tell you all those. But then I realized, I need to get saved. I need Jesus. And I remember weeping and crying, God, please forgive me. And I was never the same. Never the same. 2 days later, I called Bungie and I said, hey man, are there any Bible studies we could go to, bro? And he goes, huh? Yeah, there's a Bible study tonight. This guy named Bob Lane is teaching this study on inductive Bible study. This is the pastor in Georgetown. This is one of the closest guys to me now. So I started going to this with Bungie every Wednesday night. Started attending the home fellowship that Bungie was going to at a guy named Derek Kinney's house, who, by the way, this home group had been praying for me that entire summer. So here's this guy that got saved. I started bringing all my friends, all my roommates. We filled their house. Ate a lot of their food. It was great. Well, I quit skateboarding when I got saved because I realized right away I tore down the Taoism. I threw out the fortune cookie collection. I started getting rid of my music, and I remember giving my music away to some of my friends, and they're like, dude, why are you giving me all this stuff, man? What's wrong with you? Have you lost your mind? I'm like, no, I don't want to listen to this anymore. I don't want to listen to this. I don't want to listen to that. Here, take this, take that. People were just like, what is going on with this guy? Friends started telling me, why? I like the old John. What's the new John? What's he doing here? Well, I quit skateboarding, but it was 2 months later when I was at a men's retreat that the Lord commissioned me to go out and meet with the kids that I had corrupted and use skateboarding as a means to talk to them. And that's what began my skateboard ministry and started a skateboard company with my friend Kurt. Started a skate park ministry at the church. Started riding for a skateboard company in California, traveling all over California, Canada, upper United States. And of course, about that time I started pastoring because they recognized that God was doing something in my life. I started youth pastoring. That's where I met Kenda, cleaning toilets. It was wonderful. Took over the youth ministry and got ordained and married all within that year. And then Bungie was actually the college pastor at this point, and so we were on staff together for like 4 years. And which was really strange, you know. Like I used to say all the time when we were at the office, I used to go, do you know who this guy is? Do you know what he's done? Should he be in charge of this? I don't think that's a good idea. Of course, I was the only one that knew him. And of course, you know, the story, I could go on and on, but I'm running out of time. In February 2003, that's when God called us to come here. And so Ken and I had been married, you know, 2 years, and God called us to come here. And that was like 15 years ago in June of 2003 when we came here. And so I tell you all this not because I'm trying to point the finger at myself, but just to say that, hey, look, this is what happens when you come to know God. It changes your life to have a relationship with the Lord. And all He wants is a relationship with us. That's why Jesus came. That's why He died and rose from the grave.